Brothers and sisters, a story that's taken from the Gospel of John. Now, Jesus came from Galilee to see his cousin John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. Now, John, who knew him, he said, tried to prevent him and says, I need to be baptized by you, and yet you're coming to me. And Jesus said to him, reply, allow it now, for thus it is fitting for us to complete in the fullness of righteousness. And then he allowed him. After Jesus was baptized, he came up from the waters, and behold, the heavens opened for him. And he saw the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove and coming upon him. And then a voice came from the heavens saying, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. People of God, hear what the Spirit is saying.
Thank you, sir.
You know, one thing I find interesting, Jesus hadn't done anything, and the Spirit comes down and says, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. So I don't know that it's anything we do that makes us pleasing to God. It's who we are in that. And that wonderful job you did with Wade in the Water. It's an African-American that his spiritual and dual meanings, it was coded from the times of slavery, that you go in the water so you could get away from the hounds. Hounds couldn't track you in the water, and it kind of cleaned up your path, and they couldn't see you. And then as time went on, faith and other deliverance things, messages were part of it. Parts of the Gospels and parts, not the Gospels, parts of the Old Testament being freed from Egypt and going on. Today is the Feast of the Baptism of Jesus, January 11th, that's today. It marks the end of Christmas, and it's the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. Now, I'd like to take time to take a look at what baptism means. I ask a number of people from different places, what does your baptism mean to you? And you know what most people's answer was? Nothing. It doesn't really mean anything to me. Yeah, I guess it means I was part of the church. My Lord, it was so long, I was just a little baby. I don't remember much about it. Then there's some others who they were baptized when they were in their 30s. And it made a very different thing for them. They were at a different place. And part of it, I think, why baptism doesn't always mean something to us is the way some of it got interpreted going back. You know, this misunderstanding about original sin and the paradigm that presents. I've already said this before in different places, but I think the paradigm with which we look at things makes a huge difference in the way we are. Paradigm's the way we see the world. It exists under our awareness. We're not even aware of that. And we seldom examine it. I'd like to examine our paradigms a little bit today and take a look at it. Because our paradigm then controls our behavior and can stop us from learning or can help us from learning, to learn. I think our world could use a little bit of that today. What do you think? So, the generic term for if you didn't get baptized, and this was Augustine that started all this stuff, was that, well, if you didn't get baptized, you weren't going to heaven, you were going to purgatory or limbo or something like that. And when we use that word limbo, do you know what you're going to do, Patty? And many times you go, I don't know, I'm in limbo about it. It means you just don't know. And that's really what they were saying, and unfortunately, it was taken as a shameful thing, is that you're not going to heaven. And how can you say to a baby you're not going to heaven with nothing they did? Matthew Fox, in his book Original Blessings, he asked two questions. He says, in our quest for wisdom and survival, does the human race need to require a new religious paradigm? Think about that. Does creation-centered spiritual tradition offer such a paradigm? And Matthew Fox thinks so, and so do I. The original blessing sees humans as inherently created by God in God's image, loved unconditionally from the start, while original sin teaches humanity is born tainted by Adam and Eve's disobedience, and they're needing salvation from their fallenness. It's that thing, I think, where a lot of people, I see different tattoos on some young people's arms, fear God. And I don't think that's the way Jesus approached it at all. Original blessing emphasizes our worth and our connection. Where does that come from biblically? Well, biblically, God created all of us in God's image, inherently blessed. That's from Genesis 1. He saw it was all very good. So we're getting that from that tradition. It focuses on our connection with each other, a spiritual wholeness, a reflection of what's inside each one of us. It's not our outside, it's what we are here. It fosters self-acceptance, joy, compassion, beyond our mistakes. Now, original sin, we're born with this. We've fallen out of grace due to Adam and Eve, whoever they were. And that comes from Genesis 3. It's inherent guilt, separation from God. It can lead to shame, anxiety, guilt, condemnation of self, unless we're centered on Jesus' salvation. Now, the difference is, or the starting is, the blessing is saying we're inherently good. And when we have that weight of that original sin versus original blessing, it stops us. And we think we're just broken all the way, instead of needing each other and bringing each other to completion. Blessing sees us fundamentally that we're okay. In Judaism and creation spirituality, they lean towards original blessing. You heard the reading this morning from Isaiah. The second reading that was there leans toward that piece. Jesus himself, being a Jew, he leaned towards that. Now, it wasn't until Paul began to bring in a lot of the original sin ideas. But basically, it's that we are the good people, and it's our charge to bring light to that darkness. Modern perspective and progressive theology suggests that it's shame, not sin, that's the primary problem that's stemming from the fall. And shame is something, you know, it's not a healthy thing. It doesn't allow us to take ownership of what we are and who we are totally. The other day, we learned some disparaging statements that were made from the White House. And I think that penetrates even deeper into this whole thing of original sin, where we can blame other people for things, where we can call people names, where we can do that. And that's something we need to challenge ourselves, that we're not calling other people names, that we're not calling other people out of who they are. And even if they're enemies, remember what Jesus said, they don't know what they're doing. More than that, how do we see and treat others who are foreign, who are seeking a better opportunity that correlates with our Christian witness? Scripture teaches us that each person, regardless of where they're born, their language they speak, the value they have, whether they contribute to the gross national product, is it a woman or a man, is it male or female, is it LGBTQ or trans, whoever they are, we are to keep them in our minds, and that we are all family of God, one together. Does that make sense? So that's where we want to take a look at how do we want to do this. I think LBC has done that in many ways. You know how much money just in this quarter we gave to the food pantry? It's $2,700. And then on top of that, because of what's happening with Head Start and that, Do you know how much we collected and put forward? Over $1,000 plus all the canned goods that were brought in. That's pretty awesome. Because I think people begin to see that, and we need to spread that light out. You know how much we've donated through our different grants we've given to City Heart and to our tithing and that over the past 10 years? Over $100,000. You wouldn't think of that from a small community. But I think that's a wonderful thing to say, hey, look how blessed you are. You are God's holy people. Look at how Isaiah, he leans towards goodness in that first chapter. He says, you are my servant, I uphold you, my chosen one, whom I'm well pleased. Jesus' baptism is about bringing that to completion. And you know what he did right after he was baptized in the scripture of John? He goes out into the wilderness because he had to find out a little bit more who he was. And I think that's something we need to do sometimes. In the wilderness we face every day, the wilderness we see on the woods, we need to go out and take a look at who we are and how we are a people that can bring light to that darkness. And that can be so that we can understand what they're saying in Genesis 1, where God declares, we are very good. I was talking to Beverly today. I said, you know, I think the Holy Spirit's talking to us all the time. The question is, are we listening? And I think that's a piece we need to see, is that we need to listen to where it speaks. And it comes from places sometimes we wouldn't expect it to. You are my son. You are my daughter. In Matthew's version, he says it to everyone. In Mark's version, he says it only personally to Jesus. And I think there's different ways that each of us hear it too. We don't all hear it the same way, because that's part of the beauty of all of us being different, that we can do that. So I believe God whispers to each one of us, you are my son, you are my daughter. We're called, and if we're called, then we're sent out. What are we sent out to? Well, the Spirit hovered over the creation, stirring up the waters of the Spirit. And once again, the Spirit took Jesus into the wilderness and takes us there too. Remember that you're baptized. And it doesn't have to be by water. It can be by calling that that happens. It is much different in Jesus' day than it is in our day. It's not much different. Jesus had to face an imperial government, the Roman government. He had to contend with that. He had to contend with and encounter religious leaders who took advantage of the people's day. He was sent to bring light to that too. And we have seen powerful leaders in our day that we need to call to light and to justice. Because we are called. We're to confront injustice wherever we see it and stand for those who are oppressed. Not to judge them on either side, but to bring light to who they are. So part of the observance of our recommitment to our life in baptism is to remember that there's been injustice in every age, and there are those in our day who have already have heard that. This week builds up to what Martin Luther King was about. And I want to say a few things about Martin Luther King. Remember his conviction. He said, freedom is not voluntarily given by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed. Isn't that what Jesus said too? And how he did it? And so maybe we can act with that same courage and determination to demand freedom from the oppressed in our day. Martin Luther King said, a negative peace, which is the absence of tension, is less than positive peace with the presence of justice. Can you hear the echo of Jesus' life in that too? How he called that out? And maybe that's something we can continue to do, to work for peace in our world, that we can be the first to cry out for justice. Martin also said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutually tired in the single garment destiny. I think Jesus talked about a one garment thing too, didn't he? We're all interconnected. We are all one. And the more we can come to see that oneness, and not just with people, we're one with the nature, with the universe, with all that's out there. We're part of that stardust that blew up some 14 billion years ago. We are a piece of all that. And that will continue. Martin said in Lament, the contemporary church is often weak, an ineffectual voice, with an uncertain sound. Can you hear what Pope Leo is saying to the world now? What Pope Francis said? What other leaders of other religions, of other denominations are calling out and saying? There seems to be an awakening that we need to be about. And we are part of that awakening. We are part of that. And so in the time of this darkness, understand that we are bringing light to the nations. And we do make a difference. Every one of us, in the little things we do, makes a difference to change the world. So with that, go forth and may your baptism, whatever that may be, whenever that may have happened, whenever you heard that calling from God, know that you are called and sent to make a difference in our world. And that's what we're here for. I open up for your comments.